My name's Neville Chun. I'm from Lower Hutt and I grow yuzu.
We're at Neville's small yuzu orchard in Horowhenua, under a chestnut tree. Chimes hanging on one of the branches are blowing in an early autumn breeze. It's a few weeks away from his first yuzu harvest for the season.
Yuzu is a Japanese citrus. It's a very ancient citrus. And it's only come into New Zealand within the last 5 or 6 years, I would say. We were probably the first to start growing yuzu and marketing it in New Zealand. It's a funny citrus because it's if you pick a fresh citrus yuzu off the tree and try and eat it, you'll hate it. It's sour and it's very astringent. It looks like a large mandarin, and it's jet green when it's unripe, and it's bright yellow when it's fully ripe. And they're almost like two different fruit. We pick both green yuzu and ripening yuzu for different purposes.
Neville's yuzu goes to brewers, distillers and chefs, and olive oils and beers infused with the fruit have won awards. In Japan, it has more traditional uses.
Green yuzu is highly valued for its really dark, pungent green skin, and it's used to make a Japanese condiment called yuzu kosho, which is a very strong, pungent paste that's made out of yuzu, green yuzu peel, hot green chilies, and salt. And everything's combined, and then it's cold fermented in the fridge for about 6 months. And you only need a little bit of it to flavour sauces or put in soups and stuff like that. It's very popular in Japan. It's got a fantastic flavour.
Yuzu is just one of the unusual fruits that Neville grows. He also grows ume, another fruit of Eastern origin, similar to a plum, as well as finger limes and other fruits. So how did he get into niche fruit growing?
I married a Japanese lady in 2000, and she gave me a little packet of dried up seed and said, grow these. I didn't know what they were, and I asked her, and she said, well, they're yuzu. And I said, well, are they legal? And she said, yes, I think so. So I tried to grow them, and they didn't grow because dried citrus seed don't grow. So that got me interested in seeing if there were any yuzu trees actually growing in New Zealand. And because I was in the garden centre industry, I had a lot of nursery contacts. I found a grower in Tauranga who had some. So I rang him up and asked him about them, and he said, yeah, I've got a batch here. I've got about 50 trees. Do you want them? I'll give you a special. They're bastards to grow. They're thorny, and they have this sour fruit, and I can't sell them. So I took a punt, and I said, yeah, okay, I'll take the lot.
And when was that?
Oh, that was back in about 2005. Yeah, and they became my mother's stock. Yeah, I propagated from those.
And how did they take?
We did them from cuttings. And we planted about 200 on that first paddock that I'm going to show you. It took us ages because we're townies, you know, we don't know how to dig holes. And but anyway, we did it. And 2 weeks later, we came back. They're all gone. They were all bloody eaten down to the ground by rabbits.
Oh.
That was an absolute shock to us. We thought, then that's it. We can't do this. So we replanted, and we had to put protection around each tree. They started growing. And then that spurred us on to grow more. So we filled up the back paddock, and then we were in a bit of a roll.
Mm-hmm.
So we started propagating more and finally filled up the whole orchard, which is a hectare here.
How many trees?
Just under 400.
Does the climate here suit them? It must do.
Well, yeah. We're stretching the capabilities of yuzu because we've got a few contract orchards around New Zealand, and just trialling them out and see how they perform. They perform obviously very well north, Gisborne, but we're also trying Taihape, and we've actually planted a large planting down in Nelson Lakes near Murchison. So that will be the most southernmost commercial citrus orchard in New Zealand.
So what sort of climate do they prefer?
Well, in Japan, they actually get covered in snow in winter. That we're talking about mature trees. So they can stand quite cold winter conditions. but only when they're mature. But yeah, the yuzu growers in Japan, they're quite happy with the trees covered in snow in winter. They're not deciduous, they're evergreen, but they take it. The snow thaws and the trees are still evergreen and they don't get burned or anything, just carry on.
Well, should we should we have a look at this fruit? So it looks quite similar to a lime tree.
Well,
Neville.
Yeah, they are. I've got some lime trees down there, but you'll see that they do look different. Oh, here we go. So that's the green yuzu on the tree now.
So it looks like a mandarin, as you say, but it's just a beautiful green.
Very, very hard.
Yeah.
So these will get larger, of course, and we're probably looking 2 to 3 weeks. We'll start selectively picking some of the green yuzu off the tree. We can't take it all off because otherwise we won't have any ripening yuzu to pick later.
Yeah, how much do you, what proportion do you leave?
Well, probably we would take off about a third. It's almost like a thinning process. But it depends on every tree, because some trees are quite light in their fruit, so we can't take much, and some trees are quite heavy in fruit and quite dense, so you can take more off the green, more of the green than you can with some other trees.
And the tree has those very sharp needle-like...
Yes, you see them now?
Yes, I can. You don't want to get your finger stuck on that.
And they're sharp and it's strong, and so it doesn't bend, it just goes straight into you if you're not careful.
Difficult at picking time?
Yes.
You have to be careful.
Yes, that's why we need to prune them as much as we can to keep the centres open, to allow us better access, but we still arm up with nylon sleeves and a very long leather glove. So these are fairly mature trees. We keep them at about 2.5 metres high. They will grow taller, but there's no point in us to let them grow taller for us.
So you don't use ladders or anything? It's just all hand-picked from the ground, is it?
That's correct, yep.
So it's a pretty easy care crop on the whole? If someone wanted to get into yuzu growing, would you recommend it?
Probably not. There's probably more to it than you think. I mean, it's, you know, we're walking through a mature lanes here and fruit on the trees, and you think, oh, wow, I could do this. But it has been a hard task to get to this point, and there's been a lot of disappointments along the way. Things have held us back. Trees have died, sprays haven't worked, when we went organic that changed things too. So yeah, it's just not what you see, it's how, you know, it's probably a long story behind it to get to this stage.
You've got to be persistent and have some passion for it as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were two periods in time where we thought, oh, we just can't do this, it's too hard, so we'll give up. But we did persevere on, and we're just at the stage now where everything's mature and we've got a better understanding of the trees. That's probably the key of it all, really, just to have that knowledge over these years of how to grow, what to do, what to spray, and be ready for disappointments when they don't fruit.
And do they fruit every year?
No. We've had two really bad years. This year looks like a moderate crop of good quality, but we have had 2 years of really poor crops and poor quality. So, you know, pre-orders, people get disappointed. But what can you do? Yeah.
So what have we got here?
Well, these are the ume trees.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, these are the Japanese ume. They've finished. They crop really early. We crop those in from late December through January, and then it's all over. So now they're just making their summer growth, and we'll probably prune those back a bit. And they'll go to sleep over winter. They're one of the first deciduous trees to actually come into flower in winter. They'll come into flower about May, June. Beautiful pink flowers, and they'll actually set fruit, and they're probably, yeah, they would be one of the first stone fruits that are harvested.
We wander past late-fruiting feijoas, finger limes, and cider apples grown to order.
Got a couple of rows of feijoas growing here. They're a good companion tree for citrus.
You seem to have developed a market for niche products, as you say, but combined with your gardening knowledge, you've been able to develop a few different lines.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, our family were in the garden centre industry, and my main job was actually to source trees and shrubs from around New Zealand. So I became interested in varieties that are unusual or not known, and I would hunt these down and stock them in the garden centre. Now I'm applying the same process to my orchard, where people don't know about something, I'll grow it and present it to them and say, hey, look, I've got some of these, try it. And so they get a unique product, and I don't have to grow too many because I'm just supplying the one guy.
A few weeks later, the green yuzu's picked, zested, and in the hands of brewers at Garage Project. So I've headed to the heart of Wellington, to the craft brewery's wild workshop in Marion Street, to chat to Pete Gillespie. Can smell it already.
You can smell it. So, I mean, like I said, this is where we do these wild, wonderful fermentations. And if the yeasts that we use here escaped at our clean brewery, we'd be in real trouble. So these are yeasts that can often create sour flavours. So I said, it's like sourdough, and that kind of analogy is really fitting, because it's basically the same kind of wild yeast and bacteria that live in the air all around us. Everyone did sourdough when they were in lockdown, didn't they? I know I did. And you know how you leave your kind of like your wet dough open to the atmosphere, and the wild yeast and bacteria will land in there and ferment it. We do the same thing here. We actually do spontaneous beer, where we will bring the wort and we put it into a huge open cool ship and invite the wild yeast in from outside. We throw the windows open, let it come in and create this incredible, unique beer. You know, it's a style of brewing that almost died out. There are a few little breweries in Europe who kind of held on to this tradition. It's such a wonderful, romantic process. It's taken off again, and there are now breweries around the world who've taken inspiration from these little European breweries, and here in the heart of Wellington we're doing that right now.
And today we're going to look at how you're adding yuzu to the beer.
Yeah, so we have used Neville's yuzu. Neville was the most wonderful human being I've had to work with at Garage Project. He's got an incredible enthusiasm and passion for what he does, and it's infectious. We've been using yuzu from Neville for, I've lost track of how many years, almost the whole time that we've been doing Garage Project. He also will get his hands on just about anything else or try and grow it for us. He's grown us Mexican marigolds. He supplies us with ume, which are the Japanese plums. He's done all sorts of things for us. He quite often will turn up with a huge handful of something interesting and find out whether we would like to put it in a beer. The answer is normally yes.
So we're walking through the cellar.
Yep.
And we're surrounded by big shiny tanks. And there's another brewer down the end.
You can tell they're brewers. We've got beards. Not all of us. So Dave is the head brewer down here at the Wild Workshop. We use Neville's yuzu up with our clean beer as well. So up at Aro, we use it a lot. But just currently today, we're about to add this to a very special blend of beers. We actually did a yuzu wildflower brew a number of years ago, where we got from Neville, we got the flowers from the tree, threw them into some wort, and the wild yeast on the flowers actually ferments the wort. So we have some of that beer, and we've made a stout as well, and we're blending the two together and adding some yuzu rind, freshly zested yuzu, to that brew. And that's what's about to happen here. So Dave's got a ladder set up so he can climb up to the top of this tank. We have the wildflower beer in the tank, and he's just going to just pop the rind in. It's not rocket science, but it's really delicious.
Okay, let's do it.
Take the head pressure off the tank.
Okay, having a smell here. Oh my goodness, that fragrance, it's just pouring out of the bag, isn't it?
It's absolutely incredible. And that's why we've become, almost obsessed with yuzu. We use it in at least, I think, 4 or 5 of our beers now. It fits so well. It goes super well with sour beer, like we're doing right now. It just adds that like kind of wonderful citrus top note. And it also works beautifully with hops. Hops often have almost, a similar kind of citrusy character, and this just amplifies that. So Dave's just kind of, that's him just putting the CO2 onto the tank, and then he'll be purging that through as we open the top just to try and keep the oxygen out.
So the zest goes in, and it takes about a week to extract the flavour, and the brew will then be filtered and blended, ready for packaging. And this is going to be a new beer for Garage
This will
Project.
Be a brand new beer. So it's that blend of the yuzu wildflower and a very special stout, which is a pitch black strong beer that we've made. We're blending the two together, and that will be called The View from Nowhere.
Tell us about the name.
I just love the name. It's a book of philosophy, in fact. And what better name for a weird blend of sour light beer and dark strong stout, with a little bit of yuzu on top.
Pete Gillespie of Garage Project at the Brewers Wild Workshop in Wellington. Neville Chun, the yuzu grower you heard from earlier, is interested in growing Japanese persimmons next to be eaten dried the Japanese way.
So, Sally, did you get to taste the yuzu beer?
Yes, I tasted one of the green yuzu beers nearer to being ready, and it was inspired by that sour Japanese condiment yuzu kosho. And Pete gave me a few tips on how to taste it.
Okay. So swirl it around your glass, and like a wine, you can just sort of breathe in gently. Don't snort, but, just breathe it in and get the aroma. And this is just like, obviously, people out there in radio land won't be able to appreciate it, but it's and just the most incredible, fresh, zesty, citrusy character.
Wow.
Yep, straight away. It's so sour. It makes your mouth almost pucker up. Not what a lot of people think of as beer. It's quite different, but really fun. And all the more fun because we can only do it once a year when Neville produces his harvest.
Now have a look at our webpage for photos of Neville in his orchard and Pete in the brewery. Cosmo's story about the composting barn has some great photos too.